Listener production. When life gives you lemons, he'll turn them sassy, not sour.
What? Who wrote this script?
Strap yourself in. It's Complete Dribble with Christian Hull.
Oh, there's dust in here.
Travelling. I fucking hate it. I hate it so much, which is why I only usually go up to the Sunshine Coast, which is like an hour and a half drive away from me, because airports suck. I have to get to an airport like 4 hours early.
You're the worst.
I just hate it. And I just wanted to just run through some airport etiquette that's really frustrating me, because I have to travel a lot when you're touring especially. It's just constantly at airports. The first thing is, please, I beg of you, when you go to the baggage carousel, stand back, you fucking heinous fucking cunts. You don't need to stand on the carousel if your bag is not on, it's not coming up, okay? Because you block everyone! Oh, it's so fucking rude. And people come and they stand in front of me and I'm like, I'm quite a distance back and you can get a whole overview of everything, and then people like stand right in front.
Yeah.
And I'm like, if you just take two steps back, we can all see. You fucking rude piece of shit.
But then the people trying to actually, they see their bag, they try to get to their bag and pick up their bag, can't because people who are just standing in the way waiting.
And the only thing saving those people standing in the way from me being awful is just in case I get recognised.
Oh, yeah.
The amount of times I walk up and rudely, don't even say anything, I just aggressively sort of push my way in to get my bag, and then I'll swing my bag out and almost try to hit them. Mm. I'm like, yeah, get the fuck out of the way, you fuckhead. How am I supposed to get my bag off? You're standing on top of me. Like, my bag's heavy. Like, I got 23 kilos of luggage, the heavy tag's on there, and they don't move for me to get my bag off.
Yep.
So I just swing, I make sure I swing my arms, and I'm really, and I would say, move. Like, I would say, can you move? That's how I would do it. That's me being aggressive. I won't do that because I'm too afraid. They're like, oh my God, you're that paint guessing guy. And then it would be like, he was really rude and aggressive. And I don't want to be known as that.
Yeah.
Even though I want to be that.
But I feel like that's just I'm surprised people still do it. It's a known fact that you stand back.
I can't. Like, my blood boils, which is why what I do is I usually loiter. So, look, another good thing is get an aisle seat. If you're on a plane and you can, get an aisle seat because you can get on last, right? And if you're assigned an aisle seat, get on last, because otherwise you've got to get up and get down and get up and get down, let people in, and it holds the whole process up.
True.
So you're off the plane really quickly, especially if you're at the front. You just get off really quickly and then dawdle. Just dawdle and wait if you can afford to, so you don't go down to that baggage carousel and lose your fucking mind at the most annoying, heinous pieces of shit that exist on this planet. Can you tell? I've just had a tour and I can't. Oh.
I mean, it's a fair thing to hate. It's very, especially if it keeps happening over and over again.
I was coming back from Adelaide back to Brisbane and I was just tired and grumpy. And I had my aisle seat. The flight was delayed. I was waiting and waiting and waiting. And I was like, oh, this is going to be like, it's a long, crampy flight. I'm a bit fat. And I was like, fuck. I get on the plane and I'm like, go to my seat. And I sit down. And this is the Virgin. How's this? When you have a fear of flying and the flight stewards are named Eternity and Hope. Their names were Eternity and Hope. I was like, I have never felt safer in the skies.
Oh, my God.
Right? I mean, it was ruined by Mitchell and Liam were the other two. I'm like, come on, guys. Couldn't you?
Just pretend
that. Got Eternity and Hope here. It was just so funny. It was like, and on the flight today is Eternity and Hope. And I was like, oh, I feel weirdly like nothing is going to go wrong.
Yeah.
I'd flown with Eternity before. Because she was like, oh, it's good to see you again. I was like, oh, yeah, thank you. And then I looked at her name badge. I was like, yes, I remember that name. I was the last to board. So I walked on, sit in my aisle seat, and she literally comes up to me. She goes, follow me. Oh.
Oh.
Oh. There's nowhere to go other than business class. And I got a business class upgrade. Ah! And do you know who was sitting next to me in business class?
Who?
Nobody.
Oh.
Oh. I also just want to stress that the plane is not going to leave without you. So if you're waiting at the gate, There's no need to rush on. You've got an aisle seat, fucking wait.
Yeah.
If you've got a window seat, get in that queue and get on first, please. If you've got an aisle seat, well, I don't know how the fuck you're going to work that out.
I mean,
the middle seat, sorry.
I wait till last because there's less time on the plane.
Yeah, but are you window or aisle?
Don't look.
You fucking little bitch.
Sorry.
Select your seat as an aisle seat then.
Okay, all right.
Because it's annoying. Sorry, I'm right in there.
Yeah, but
why didn't you get on earlier?
Because I was waiting and I didn't want to stand in the line.
Yeah, well, then get an aisle seat. The other thing, the other little tip I have is always check in early. Check in as soon as possible online.
Because
what they do is if they overbook a flight, it's like the last people to check in can't check in.
Oh, I did not know that.
I don't know if that's a fact, but...
I saw something in your
eyes. I saw somebody say that and I was like, well, that makes sense. If you go to check in and it's full...
Oh, it does make sense.
Sorry, it's overbooked. We'll bump you to the next flight.
Hmm.
Because I would often...
Just in case that's true.
Yeah, just in case that's true. Because I would often wait. If I had to check in bags, I wouldn't check in. I'd just check in at the airport.
Right, okay.
But no. Just check in. Huh. As soon as possible, select an aisle seat, get on last, get off first, and then dawdle, and then collect your bags, and please stand back from the carousel.
Okay.
You fucking bitch. I have a Netflix, I want to say. I'm subscribed to so many streaming services. I don't know what service this show's on. It's called The Ghost Train Murders. It's an Australian documentary series where a journalist looks into the 1979... Ghost Train Fire at Luna Park. Now, this does come with a little trigger warning because it's really disturbing and it deals with some pretty appalling deaths. So, 1979, Luna Park, late at night, in the ghost train, there was a huge fire that destroyed the ghost train and there were people trapped in the ride. And so they burnt to death. And
oh, my God.
The first part of this three-part series, I had to skip through a lot because it's so... It's really horrific and emotional because they were young children. Anyway, the fire happens.
Oh, God.
And what happened in 1979 was a senior police investigator came out to say it was an electrical fire. Electrical fire. And then that was it. What actually happened was so different. And it's a really interesting story of blatant police corruption that this journalist found out worked its way all the way up to the Premier of New South Wales at the time.
Oh, my God.
And it's just, it was really fascinating to see just the level of corruption. It was real estate corruption. So what they alleged to have happened was a mafia boss hired some bikies to set alight the ghost train in order to cause damage where, you know, Luna Park would close down, where it would cost them a lot of money, where they potentially would have to sell Luna Park. So the land that Luna Park is on is owned, it's Crown land, so it's owned by the government. And basically what this mob boss was trying to do was trying to get the lease to the land. He was giving money to senior court judges. This was a mob boss of Sydney. He was connected to the Premier.
Oh, my God.
Like, this mob boss was running the New South Wales government. How did they get away with it? You do realise they got away with it because, you know, again, the media was controlled and owned. There was no social media. It was a lot harder for people who opposed what was going on to have their voices heard, which is very different from today. So it's just an incredibly fascinating piece of Australian history that I think everyone should watch. You can't skip the first episode, but get the information from the first half of the first episode and then you can skip the second half if it's too traumatic for you because a mother watched her two kids and her husband who were in there. Like, this fire just consumed them and she couldn't do anything. And she's interviewed and she's devastated. And
oh,
they all believed, because the police came out and were like, oh, it was an electrical fire. They all believed it. And then this journalist ended up finding some photos, because they cleaned up the crime scene like that.
Yeah.
Which you don't do in an investigation like this. And the journalist, like, hands some photos over to these parents to be like, do you notice anything wrong with this photo? And they're like, oh, well, during the fire, all the electricity's on, so that's weird. Because if it's an electrical fault, the electricity would have gone.
Yeah.
And then the box that provides all the power to the ride, which was quickly removed, was the only thing that didn't catch fire.
Oh.
So the thing that caused this, like, this was a total inferno. The whole ghost train burnt to the ground, apart from this little patch, which was what they said was the cause. And ultimately, what had happened was some bikies had gone on the ride, poured kerosene throughout the duration, lit a match, and they were watching. They were outside of the ride watching it, and these two young kids heard them talking about it, reported it to police, and because the police were corrupt, they reported it to the police. The police wrote it down. These two kids that were sort of wayward kids, so they're at a home for troubled kids, went back to the home. The police at 2 a.m. drove, picked them up, brought them back to the station and demanded, made them confess that they were lying, that they didn't hear these things. They took that there were bikies involved off the record. They then charged the kids with perjury. So the kids then had to serve time because they lied in their statement, which they didn't do. It was just the police being like, we can't have the bikies on record here. This ruins the whole operation. And so, like, there's all these tiny little pieces that this journalist pieces together through all... Because the police did zero work because it was a cover-up. And so when this journalist goes through and interviews all these different people and puts all this evidence together, it paints this really obvious picture. It's just one of those amazing documentaries where you're like, this bit of information, this bit of information, this bit of information, and then they lay it all out at the end and you're like, holy shit, no charges were ever laid.
Oh my God.
It's just a really fascinating
layers on layers.
And it's so, you just feel awful for the families of the kids, because I think seven people were, Ghost Train Murders. I think it's also on ABC iView because it's an ABC funded. Yeah, they really do. Oh. Yeah.
Okay, all right, I'm hooked. I'm in. I want to watch it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's back. It's porn parody time. Nat, you've got a list of movies. You're going to read the actual movie and then I have to guess what the porn parody would be.
Yes.
A real porn parody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're actually pretty good. You didn't do too bad last time.
I did terribly.
Yeah, but
these are all also from like, they've got to be from the like late 80s and 90s.
Yeah.
So they're pretty naff.
Oh, so much fun. Okay, all right, we've got 12 to get through. First one is 12 Years a Slave.
Oh, 12 Years a Slave? 12 Cocks a Slave.
12 Years a Slut.
That sounds like me. That's for the movie. Yep.
12 Years? What, 37? Okay, number two. Two Broke Girls.
Oh. Two Stroke Girls. That's a good one. Two Stroke Girls. Two.
You're going to give me a hernia. I swear to God. Two Broke Girls, One Cup.
Of course.
Number three. The Office.
The Off Your Face. No, the Sex Office. The Soffice. The Suck Me Office.
Oh, that's a good one. The Suck Me Office.
That's a brilliant one. See, I'm really good.
Oh my God.
The Suck Me Office. I can't breathe. I'm not even that funny. What is it?
I can't even say it now.
Oh God. Is it real bad? God.
That is so funny. I don't even want to say the actual answer now. The Orifice.
Do they brainstorm? These are the worst. The Orifice. Da, 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 da,
da, da, da, da, da, da. Oh my God, the Suck Me Orifice. I actually can't breathe. Oh, oh my God. That is so funny. Oh, you need to be naming these.
Yeah, I really do.
This has to be your side hustle.
Holy shit.
Oh, wow. You nailed that. Okay. Oh, okay. Oh, this one's a good one. The Gladiator.
Oh, that's easy. The Glad He Ate Her.
Yes! Yay! Oh, that's pretty funny.
That's a really good name.
See, that's a good one.
Yeah.
That was passed through a few people.
Well, it didn't really need it.
That was workshopped.
It's no different to The Gladiator.
Oh my God.
The gladiator and the gladiator.
Oh, that's so funny. Okay, Men in Black.
Not a change to that one at all. Black in Men.
Men in Black Men.
Oh, yeah, that's...
Oh, this one's an easy one. I think you might have read this one before. There's Something About Mary.
There's Something in Mary, isn't it? Yeah. Something in Mary. Holy shit.
The Da Vinci Code.
Ooh, there's she in that one. The inch, the 8-inch code. The 8-inch she code. fuck her. Da Vinci? Da Vinci.
Da Vinci fuck her.
Da Vinci code comes. That's a hard one. The Da Vinci. The Da Vinci. Da Dave in she code. That was terrible.
I see where your mind was going, yeah. But no, it's just the Da Vinci chode.
The Da Vinci chode. That's a great one.
Okay. Kill Bill.
Phil Bill.
Oh, that's cum. A good one.
Phil Bill.
In brackets, with cum. To be specific. Drill Bill.
Drill Bill.
It's pretty good. Pretty good. Toy Story.
Toys.
I'll give you a hint. This one's just adding a word to the beginning.
Her Toy Story. No. To the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
The Toy Story. No. Toy Story. Big Toy Story. No. What is it?
Sex Toy Story.
Oh, of course.
Night of the Living Dead.
Night.
Think about what rhymes with dead.
Bed. Bed? Night of the horny bed. Night of the living bed. No. Bed, dead, redhead, fed. Night of the...
You said it.
Fed. Dead. No, that's the actual name. I don't know. What is it?
The Night of Giving Head.
That's good.
Okay, two more to go. The Hurt Locker.
Oh, the Hurt Fuck Her. It Hurt Fuck Her. Fuck Her, It Hurt. I don't. The Hurt Fucker. That's got to be that one.
The Sucker Office.
Suck Me Office. Oh, fuck. What's the Hurt?
The Squirt Logger.
Oh, yeah.
And last one, James Bond.
Kames Frond. No.
What did you say?
James Bondage?
Yes!
Oh, that one's terrible.
Good job! No, I'm sorry. The highlight has to be...
Let's make a porn parody in this office.
Okay.
Jack!
And it's...
I have some sad news. I've stopped taking the medication that makes my dreams fucking weird.
Oh.
However, before I stopped, I did manage to record two dreams.
Yes.
So, Dreams Audio is back.
Yay! Your last one.
Oh, my God. They were so full on.
No, stop. The food court.
Oh, that's right. Food court murders.
Food court murders. Which is something I would 100% watch.
Oh, they're so bizarre. So, basically, I was on a weight loss drug. Didn't really work. And the doctor was like, you're going to have the weirdest dreams. And you were like, as soon as you wake up from them, record them. Because you forget dreams. I don't even know what I've recorded. I don't remember. I do think that one of them might be a horny dream with a gentleman who works just outside here that I might have a large crush on.
Does it rhyme with Schmack Schmall?
Yes. The first one...
Oh, my God!
I've recorded 5 minutes of audio.
I'm so excited for this. Okay, let's go.
Oh, this is such a vivid dream. And I'm so disappointed that it's not real. Which is so strange because... I literally just, like, found the man that I want to spend the rest of my life with in my dream. And I've woken up and it's not real. pussy. I don't understand these feelings. But it wasn't a sex. It was so close. Oh, my God. We didn't have sex yet, and I woke up. Okay, let me explain, because it's a super weird dream. So, firstly, this is so weird. Don't judge me, because this is how it usually happens. This is how my sex dreams usually start. Because I'm weird. I was in a bathroom. I was in a men's public bathroom, and I was using the urinal. My dick was out, and I was, like, trying to show off. I was, like, trying to make people look. I was, like, look. Do you want some? It was like that, and then no one was looking. And so, for some reason, there was an area where there was all these public showers, and then there were these weird cubicles, and it was two men to a shower cubicle. And so it was like, well, no one's going to, like, give me any attention at the urinal. So I went and I took a shower. But as I was, like, I went in to the shower cubicle, it, like, the whole perspective of the dream changed. And it wasn't a shower cubicle. It was like a cubicle with a bed. It was like one king single bed. And I was suddenly like lying in there because it was a fat camp. Like I was at a I was at like a retreat. And this was the room that I was staying in. But it was two people to a room. And it was literally just a bed. It was just a king single. That was the room. Like, there was no standing. There was nothing. So I was lying there. And then the other guy that was there, oh, my God, it was so hot. It was so dream. It was so attractive. And, like, he clearly wasn't there to do the fat camp because he wasn't fat. I don't know what he was. He just wasn't. I don't think air conditioner's on and it's dried my throat out. So,
God,
it's like his head is at the other end of the bed cubicle and my head's at the other end of the bed cubicle. And I'm like fumbling around. I have to plug all these charging things in to charge all these different things. I don't know why. And then, like, my suitcase was, like, under the bed, anyways. And, like, I was accidentally kicking him. I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm, like, my feet are in the way. And then he's like, oh, it's okay. And he goes, is this better? And then he brings his head up next to mine and we start making out.
This is so painful to listen to.
It was really... I don't remember making out. Like, I haven't even seen his penis. Like, there's... I didn't even get a good bit. And then anyway, we finished making out, which I can't really remember, but I know we did because I just remember that moment where it was like, how about if I lie like this? And then we were lying naked and I was just like, oh, I love you. I'm in love with you. And then so we're sitting up with the cubicle door open and we're, like, plugging our devices into charge for some reason. And over in another room, we look in and it's the living room of these two girls, right? And the two girls have just woken up because it's really early in the morning and they're, like, they look exhausted. And you know who the two girls were? Eliza and Liberty. From the block. They came second at the block. They were there. And we were chatting. And I don't know why they were there. But I used to work with Eliza. And then she goes, what's that other guy doing? Because clearly he wasn't there for the fat camp. And I, like, put my arm around and I'm like, wouldn't you like to know? I was like, he's mine, bitch. Back up. I'm like, I was, like, fully invested in this relationship that was just about to blossom. Like, we're so close to seeing him naked. I need to go back to sleep. I'm going back to sleep.
The fuck? That was the longest 5.5 minutes. Nothing happened.
Oh, my God.
So frustrating.
Can you describe what this gentleman looked like?
No, I don't remember at all.
Oh, damn it.
I don't remember.
I need a visual.
I did remember that I did have some sex dream. It wasn't Jack.
You mean Schmackschmall?
Yeah, Schmackschmall. the boss of the current radio station, I mean. Yeah.
Oh, my God, that's so
I love
good.
Eliza was there. I used to work with Eliza.
That's so random. Mm. But also, it was a sexy dream, even though there was no sex. It was
I
a sexy
do
dream.
I do remember it being really hot. Like, I woke up devastated. I was like, yeah. Oh! But I don't want to be in a relationship where I never want to be really in love.
No.
And I woke up being like, oh, that was, is that what love is? Oh.
I love the man of my dreams, yeah. Literally.
Mm. And then this wow. is the last dream
okay.
that I have had on this drug.
I love.
This only goes for a minute 50.
I love this.
So, I don't know what this is.
Oh, this dream was awful. It was awful. It was so bad. I don't understand it. So I was sitting around the dinner table with my brothers. For some reason, Mum wasn't there. Dad was on the phone. He leaves. He comes back. He's like, Christian, Nicholas, follow me. So we follow Dad, and he takes us out the front door. It's dark. Like, it's night time. And Dad and Nick go out first, and then I go to, like, close the door, the front door, and I do it really slowly, and Dad turns around and he screams, don't slam the door! He's like, I don't want to be loud! And he's screaming it.
And yeah, so
the neighbor's lights come on. And I'm like, oh, well, who's the loser now? Screaming at his children to be quiet when he's being the loudest one. That's really funny. Stupid dad. Anyways, so I'm walking out the front. My brother and my dad walk under a spider web. I'm like, oh, a spider web. And then I walk under it and I feel the spider. Ah, I feel the spider drop on me. Oh, it was so big. It was like the spider from Harry Potter, the big one. And then like, and then I start screaming. Just like, shh, kick the noise down. I'm like being eaten and killed by a spider. And then I woke up.
That's horrific.
Does it mean that my dad doesn't love me?
What a weird.
That is
weird.
Okay. What do dreams mean?
But that's why I was like, does it mean dad doesn't love me?
Yeah. Mm. It clearly means he doesn't love you.
Oh, well, obviously he doesn't love me.
That's so funny. Also, it has to relate to your dad with the bowl being loud.
Oh, but dad's like that, though. Like, keep the noise down! And like, you're screaming at the top of your lungs.